28. Into Orlando. It wasn't until Modo and Octavia had walked several streets past the rookeries and rotting inns of St. Giles that they found a cabbie who'd been brave enough to drive through the most dangerous parts of London. Once in the cab, they bumped and jostled along, eventually passing better streets and then Newgate Prison. The sight of the massive stone building turned Modo's imagination to the many criminals trapped within it, pacing their cells, dreaming of the murders they'd commit once released. He scolded himself. Some might be as innocent as Oscar Featherstone. The poor young man was likely pacing the floor himself, at the edge of madness by now. Newgate Prison was where Featherstone would be taken to be hanged. Which reminded Modo of something else. "May I ask you a question?" he said. Octavia grinned. "May I tell you a lie?" He faked a chuckle, found his throat was dry. "Who was Garrett? You and Taff referred to him." Her smile faded and her eyes hardened. "A mate. He looked out for me." "Why was he hanged?" "He was caught stealing a pocket watch. A pocket watch is worth a life. That's what the aristocrats think. Didn't take long for them to decide he was guilty, either. Next thing we knew, old Garrett was dancing upon nothing." Her eyes teared up, and she dabbed at them with her fingertips. "I watched him hang. All of us mates went to wish him well. It was one of the last public hangings. I was 11. I learned something that day."
"What?"
"You don't want to know."
Modo did want to know, but the look in her eyes made him hesitate to pursue it any further. The cab let them off at Fleet Lane. The sidewalk was crammed with people who were certainly better dressed than the denizens of St. Giles, but they didn't seem to care whom they bumped into. A few stared at Modo, and he wondered if it was because they were amazed that he was with such a beautiful young woman. Or was it just the mask? "I could take it off," he thought. "That would give them something to look at." At the far end of Fleet Lane, they came to a round, two-story building made of brick. At one time it had been the entrance to an underground railway. The afternoon sun lit the top of it, making the bricks glow. The door was nailed shut with several boards.
"This is the entrance Taff spoke of," Octavia said. "But we won't be going in that way."
They walked around back.
"See the window?"
Octavia pointed at it.
"Show me how you can jump, Modo."
"I don't do tricks," he replied. "At least not without double pay."
He looked up and down the street for witnesses, then used a few overhanging bricks to climb to the window. As he squeezed himself into the tiny frame, he wished he had a child's body. He worried he would be stuck there with his buttocks hanging in the air. The ridiculous image gave him the strength he needed to yank himself through to the inside. He stepped down onto a support timber, lowered himself to the floor, followed a set of stairs to the front door, and shouldered it open wide enough for Octavia to enter.
"You're a thumping big man," she said, squeezing his arm.
Modo shrugged. A gold-lettered sign said, "Entrance to Orlando Railroad, 1870. Whoever had built this, Modo realized, had expected thousands of customers a day. Now, only 3 short years later, they were rewarded with spiderwebs. Octavia stood under the sign, staring up at it.
"Well, I'll be."
"You'll be what?"
"The girl I found, Esther, kept saying, 'Must go back to Orlando.' It was like a poem. And this is Orlando Railroad. I think we're on the right track, mate."
Modo nearly fell over. She'd called him mate.
It felt good.
No, it felt wonderful. Modo dug the pocket lucifer out of his belt pouch and held it high enough to see down an impressive spiral stairwell.
"Glad you found us another lucifer," Octavia said.
"Me too. It means I get to lead."
The air grew colder, and soon all he heard was his own wheezy breathing and Octavia's footsteps behind him.
"Someone spent a lot of money to have these steps carved," he said. "They're marble, for heaven's sake."
At the bottom, they pushed through creaking turnstiles, past a ticket booth, and stepped onto a platform for an underground train. The black and white marble-tiled floors were layered with dust. A few rats skittered away, and Modo let his light follow them, until a pair of human boots were caught in the beam. He stepped back against the wall and pulled Octavia along with him.
"We have a visitor,"
Modo hissed.
"Where?"
"There."
Modo moved the light up from the intruder's feet.
"He's not moving,"
Octavia whispered.
"No, but he must surely see my light. Should I put it out? Too late."
She slapped Modo's back.
"I know him."
She dashed up to the figure.
"You should too."
"Wait,"
Modo said, running after her.
"The Duke of Wellington, I presume,"
she said, hanging from the figure's arm.
It was a statue of Arthur Wellesley, the Duke of Wellington, standing as though waiting for the next train.
Modo's laughter echoed down the tunnel. He clapped his hand to his mouth. Octavia pushed herself off of the statue.
"I feel no pity for the rich fool who'd spend a fortune on statues to impress travellers, before even building the tracks."
From the edge of the platform, Modo looked down the tunnel and pictured travelling through it by train. If there was a fire, passengers would be trapped under tons of earth and rock. They found steps leading down to the tracks and walked silently for a few minutes on the rails. The smooth rock floor became jagged. An ear-splitting, scraping noise made them both shudder.
"Put out the light,"
Octavia whispered between scrapes. Modo clicked off the pocket lucifer and was able to see a dull light in the distance. They quietly walked toward it, scrambling over old railway ties that had never been laid. The light grew brighter, and it became clear that they were approaching an adjoining tunnel that crossed the one they were in, forming a T. Meanwhile, the tunnel in which they were walking had become so narrow that they had to follow one behind the other, with Modo in the lead. Now they could hear the hammering and squealing of machinery. They stopped, staying in the shadows, and observed the set of tracks in the crossing tunnel. Three children slouched past them. They were small and hunched over, but well-muscled. Ropes had been tied to the bolts in their shoulders, and they were pulling a small trolley filled with metal bars along the rails. Two men in greatcoats guarded them.
"They're using them as mules,"
Octavia whispered.
"They seem to be building something,"
Modo said as another cart passed.
"The carts are full of metal bars and gears. And there's coal, too."
In all, 9 children passed them. Modo tapped Octavia's shoulder and pointed at 2 large dogs walking alongside the 3rd cart. The nearest hound turned his massive head ever so slowly toward them and stopped. Modo held his breath. Then the hound turned and walked further into the tunnel. The other followed. In a minute, the tunnel was quiet again. Octavia patted his shoulder and motioned for him to move forward. Modo crept a few feet along and checked both ways at the opening. Gaslights dangled from lines on the ceiling. The crossing tunnel seemed new. It stretched to his right for 100 yards. In the opposite direction, the tunnel ended at a set of large loading doors. On the other side of the doors, a foghorn echoed.
"It must open onto the Thames," he said. "Come on."
They stepped out into the tunnel, keeping to the shadows, moving toward the loading doors. There was a small door off to one side. Modo bent to it and listened. Seagulls. He opened the door an inch. Fur stood only a few feet away, exhaling cigar smoke. Modo glimpsed the wrought iron arches of Blackfriars Bridge. They had travelled further underground than he'd imagined. He backed away, pulled the door closed, and put a gloved finger to his lips. Once they had snuck back past where they had come in, Modo whispered,
"Fur was there." "Oh, wonderful,"
she said sarcastically.
"What are they up to?"
The possibilities were endless. At the very least, they must be creating something destructive. What would they make under the city, hidden from the eyes of the police and Parliament?
"A giant gun?"
Modo finally said.
"But surely those can be manufactured somewhere else."
Modo glanced back to be sure the door hadn't opened. At least he'd hear fur coming, hissing and spraying like a tea kettle. A clanging of hammers was building at the far end of the tunnel.
At least we know what they're doing with the children, he said. Slave labour. Now, what is it they're being made to build? And how will we stop it?
Octavia added, searching the eye-holes of his mask. Modo allowed himself the luxury of studying her eyes. Even in the dull light they sparkled. He gave his head a shake and said,
I guess that means we'll have to see where this track takes us.